Luke chapter 10, I'd like for us to read together a text beginning in verse 17, and we'll go down to verse 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but rejoice that the spirits are subject to you." Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'd like for you to consider that statement that the Lord makes here as the 70 return, and he speaks to them about their joy over the successes that they had had. He makes this statement regarding their names being written in heaven. I would like to compare that a little bit with a passage that we find in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 13, the text there reads, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountains of the living waters." And it almost seems to be the contrast there between the idea of if you're unfaithful to the Lord, your name is written in the earth. If you're faithful to the Lord, your name is, as we noticed in Luke chapter 10, written in heaven. Our lesson today, I'd like for us to consider the idea, is your name written in heaven? And I want us to start by considering, what does the Bible teach? Is there a record of names of those that are faithful to the Lord, those that are His, those that are in the proper relationship with Him? I think we can answer this yes. We see running throughout Scripture examples of this. Go back with me to Exodus, and I'd like us to notice in a passage where Moses speaks to the Lord when the Israelites had sinned. Let's notice some things it says there. Exodus 32, beginning in verse 31. "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed great sin and have made themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written.'" Notice he, very much like the Apostle Paul will do in the book of Romans, where he expresses the idea that I'd rather be lost than my brethren, the Israelites, be lost. Here, if you won't forgive them, then blot me out of your book for their name's sake. Verse 33, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book.'" Now, I think that is interesting. We don't understand exactly what this is, but it is clear that God keeps some type of record that here is spoken of as His book. Go to Malachi, and in Malachi chapter 3, let's notice verses 14 through 18. Malachi chapter 3, very last book of the Old Testament. And let's notice in Malachi chapter 3, we'll read together verses 14 through 18. Beginning in verse 14, "You have said, 'It is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up, and they tempt God and go free.'" Verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name." Going down to verse 18, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him." Notice this, the way it's referred to in our reading here, a book of remembrance of those that fear Him. And specifically, the Lord, there in verse 17, describes that those who are so written in this book of remembrance, the Lord says, "These are mine." Notice in the book of Revelation, in the text that was read for us a few moments ago, we see this same idea in Revelation chapter 20. Let's notice together Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. As it describes this scene of judgment, the Apostle John, through the Holy Spirit, says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, those from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books." Now, I want you to notice in this, it describes not simply what is referred to as a book of life. It describes other books. There have been those that have argued, and I think there may be something to it, that the other books are describing that by which we will be judged. In John chapter 12, Jesus will declare that His words will be the standard by which we will be judged. So are we talking here about, for those under the old law, the law of Moses, the books of the Old Testament being opened? Are we talking about those under Christ for the new covenant to be opened and we are judged in accordance with our works? There seems to be here not only a record of our deeds, a record of what the standard of judgment is, but also this book of life, those who have conformed to this standard that is set, and those who are identified with the Lord. In a very similar way, I want you to notice that as it describes this a little further in the same passage, read continuing down verse 13 through 15, "Then the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." One last reading in Revelation. Notice over in the next chapter, in chapter 21, and go down to verse 27. We notice here that it identifies those who will be a part of what is described in this chapter as the New Jerusalem, with those whose names are written in the book of life. And we'll pick up with we'll look at verse 27 there in chapter 21. "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." That's verse 22, down to verse 27. "And there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And I think simply from this brief survey, we can answer the question posed in the title of our lesson with a yes. Absolutely, there is some record of those who are in a relationship with God, those who belong to Him. The question, though, that I think is important for you and I to ask is whose names are written there? We notice that when Moses spoke with God, he there was willing to have his own name blotted out in order that they might have a relationship with God, or that they might be right with God. And the Lord said there, "Whoever sins, he will blot out his name." Well, what else does the Bible tell us about whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, let's notice over in Philippians chapter 4, we can see that some of Paul's co-workers there are described as having their name written in the book of life. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, let's read together. The text says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers," notice this, "whose names are written in the book of life." Now, is that saying, well, only those that were in a position to be able to help Paul? No, we see there are others as well. Go to Revelation again. In Revelation chapter 3, we read near the end of this book the descriptions that are given after the day of judgment, and we see there those who will be a part of that book and who are not. I want you to notice, though, near the beginning of this book, when we have these letters that are written to the seven churches in the area of Asia Minor, I want you to notice in one of these, begin with me in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. "And to the angel of the church in Sardis writes, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. For you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Notice verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, two things about this. Notice first, whose name is in there, he says, I will not blot out from that book those who overcome. So the inference is there, we need to overcome in our life of service to the Lord. But secondly, it's interesting, in the last part of that reading, it not only describes the fact that names are written there, and there will be a judgment determining whose name is and is not in that book. But I want you to notice that this passage also tells us that those whose names are in the book of life, Christ will confess before his Father and before his holy angels. Let's notice another thing. Go over to chapter 13. In the middle of the book, we see another indication of some things about this book of life. In chapter 13, let's read together in chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, and we'll go down to verse 8. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Notice, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I have argued before, and I think it is a valid argument, that the book of Revelation is addressing those Christians in a time of persecution that came on during the second and first worldwide persecution of Christians that came on as a result of Rome. You'll notice several things that are said here as it describes this beast ruling over all the tribes and tongues and nations. I would suggest to you that the beast here, it has to do with Rome and the worship of the emperor and things such as that. If that's true, we can see that those who practice idolatry, those who worship those things that are not God, are among those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so as we think about our study today, we can draw that conclusion. One last passage from the book of Revelation. And let's go now to chapter 22 and see one other reference in Revelation chapter 22 to the book of life. And let's look at verses 16 through 19. Near the end of this book, a warning is given. And we've often, since Revelation falls at the end of our canon, we've often applied it to all books of Scripture, and while I think that principle is taught throughout Scripture, what we're about to read, I think, specifically is talking about the book of Revelation. Let's read beginning of verse 16 and go down to verse 19. I, Jesus, who have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. For I testify, notice this, to to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, what would that teach us about our question today? Well, I think while we made the point that this is specifically talking about Revelation, I think we see this principle taught throughout Scripture. And there are some things in the Law of Moses that would make the same affirmation. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. If we are not willing to be content with the revelation of Scripture, and instead we teach and we practice those things that are not found within the Word of God, I think we'd fall into the category that's described here in the last verse that we looked at. It is those who take away from what is written in the prophecies of God that will not have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think that's important for us to understand. So how can we kind of summarize what we just saw in this point of our lesson? Well, we see that those who labor for the Lord, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who overcome sin and temptation are among those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who reject idolatry would be those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And finally, those who accept and follow God's Word will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, there's one last question that I think we must ask ourselves. And that is, under what conditions is a name written in the Book of Life? Well, we've seen some things about that in our previous consideration. But I want us to notice just a couple of things as we bring our lesson to a close. First, I think we can see that we're not talking about some type of special group. And what I mean by that is the Lamb's Book of Life is not just an isolated group of those that are God's people that are especially righteous. Instead, I think we can see that this is describing simply the saved. That is, all those who are accepted by God in Christ Jesus. But I think we can conclude that one thing that absolutely is a condition for having one's name written in the Book of Life is obedience. Go to Matthew chapter 7 with me for a moment, a familiar passage that talks to us about who will and who will not be acceptable before God on the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, notice this warning that is given. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, there's not anything mentioned here specifically about the Book of Life. But we do have reference to those whom Jesus will acknowledge, those whom Jesus will confess before the Father. And here, if those that practice lawlessness, those that don't do His will hear the words, I never knew you, then it follows that these are not those that God will say, these are mine who are in my book of remembrance. Over in Revelation chapter 22 and in verse 14, in Revelation chapter 22 and in verse 14, let's notice what we see there about this idea as well. Verse 14, Revelation chapter 22 says, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Remember, those that were a part of this New Jerusalem, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here, what is a part of that? Well, you have to do the commandments of the Lord that you might have the right to the tree of life. I think we can also see that if we're talking simply about those who are saved, we may ask ourselves the question, well, what does one need to do to be saved? And that will answer for us this question about how can I be certain that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or what is necessary for my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I'd ask you to read with me in Mark's account of the Lord's commission to His apostles to go out into the world and teach. You'll notice in verse 15, beginning, it says, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Over in Acts chapter 2, when the gospel is first preached on the day of Pentecost, you'll remember that as the apostles are given power to speak in tongues that they had not studied, when Peter has concluded his lesson explaining the purpose of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, verse 37 reads, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Notice verse 39 goes on to say, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So if we see here in Mark 16 and in Acts chapter 2, when they are asking what to do, when Jesus gives commands of what he is to teach, his apostles are to teach, they are told to teach people to repent and be baptized, putting their faith in Jesus as the Son of God. So if I want to have my name written in the book of life, I need to make certain that I have put on Christ by being baptized into Christ. I need to make certain that I have turned away from sin that separates me from God. But finally, I want us to notice as well that faithfulness, I think, is clearly a condition under which one may have one's name written in the book of life. 2 Peter chapter 1 is a powerful passage that talks to us about what we ought to do when we have named the name of Christ, when we have been baptized into Christ. It's important that we never imagine that it stops there. We need to recognize that that's simply the beginning of our life in Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Notice this. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Notice verse 11. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I need to be faithful to the Lord. I need to grow in my faith, and I need to do those things that are taught in God's Word. Is this not the same thing that we read in Revelation chapter 3 when instruction was given to those in the church in Sardis that they need to overcome? They need to overcome temptation, and it's not just a matter of not doing certain things, it's a matter of growing and doing those things that God would have us to do. Well, I want us to end by personalizing this. Because it's one thing for us to read about what the Bible teaches about this mysterious book that is described as the book of life. We've seen some things that the Bible teaches us about that book, but we each need to ask ourselves the question, what about me? What about you? Are we confident that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I ask you the question this morning. Have you met those conditions that we just noticed that are necessary to have our name written in the Book of Life? Are you obedient and faithful to those things that the Lord has commanded? And if so, we need to ask ourselves the question, is your name written in the Book of Life? If not, we urge you to act in such a way that it might be. And we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.